We're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
John, taxpayers and municipal retirees are being asked to pay more to help put Woonsocket on a more stable fiscal footing as part of a five-year plan. Beyond that, what would it take to expand the city's tax base?
Well, actually, one good way we're hoping will come true, and we're not sure it will, is the private business that's looking to buy our hospital, which would put that property on the tax rolls, and that would be good for a million or more in tax dollars. That's one way, and that if they were to be successful in putting a well-run, profitable operation in place, that would generate additional demand for office space and other spaces for medical professionals who may want to put themselves in that area. That's one way. And the other way is to do everything we can to monitor and make sure CBS stays in town, and mostly because of the warehousing they do and the people that work there, as we talk about all the time.
You mentioned the acquisition of Landmark Hospital by a California company. There's been a lot of uncertainty about the future of Landmark for many years now. When do you expect there to be some resolution on whether this deal will go forward or not?
Well, each application requires being dealt with in 180 days, and yesterday was good news in that the collective bargaining unit that works for the employees in Landmark reached an agreement in theory with the company offering to buy. So at least it's a hurdle that would not have to be overcome in the rest of the discussion about their qualifications to run the hospital.
You know, as you look at Woonsocket, got the same problems, fiscal problems, as many, many other Rhode Island communities. And I'm wondering, the pension and health care benefit changes have garnered the most headlines. But what is the rest of this plan? What's the pie chart that this plan involves? Where's the money come from for your five-year plan to stabilize the city's finances?
Well, the retirees, based on the health care and the frozen COLA contribution payment to them, would represent a quarter of our solution.
Mm-hmm.
And the current employees, with changes to their health care coverage, with some staffing reductions in the police department and the fire department, and just general other savings through negotiation that have to be accomplished, are supposed to represent about 30%. Increases over time in education aid as the formula rolls out, and possibly some other aid to local communities, like the pension proposal being thrown out there now for additional funds should that succeed. That would be about 29%. And the last group, obviously, is the taxpayers. And the taxpayers right now are scheduled for a $2.5 million supplemental tax bill that we're working out the mechanicals on, and a 4% assumed increase in levy every year for the next 5 years.
Some people put part of the blame for the financial struggles of Rhode Island municipalities on the General Assembly and former Governor Don Carcheri for reducing state local aid. Do you agree with that critique?
Absolutely. I know that people said we should have been more capable of responding to it, but when you're talking about $11 million of aid out of a budget that's only $100 million, and the education aid was slashed before the formula was created, and we're just barely catching up to what we used to make. The state went from 70%, 75% funding our local education over 10 years, and it dropped to where it's now only at 67% from state funds. That has been an overwhelming burden. And this reminds me of the time when Bruce Sundlin cut education aid back in 1991, and he cut it as a percentage across the board, not giving recognition to the fact that some communities are much needier than others. So when you cut 10% from Providence, Woonsocket, Central Falls, West Warwick, is far different than cutting 10% from Lincoln, Smithfield, East Greenwich, and Barrington. And this, Don Carcheri did exactly the same thing. And so climbing out of that hole is a huge undertaking. The only thing we need to recognize is that we need to measure our compensation and benefits to be consistent with those suburban communities that never did offer those kinds of pay and benefits. So we need to make ourselves more marketable and affordable.
How would you evaluate Governor Chafee's performance in terms of issues involving cities and towns?
Governor Chafee has made very good attempts to recognize that cities and towns need the kind of assistance that we need, because there are simply burdens placed upon places like Woonsocket, Pawtucket, Central Falls that other communities don't have to deal with, in terms of federal public housing that doesn't pay taxes, in terms of health care needs the community has, and very, very low-income population. And so when you have a low-value house that someone's owning and low income in the household, to have even a low-tax bill is a higher burden on them than some other communities. So he's been very good at recognizing that because of his work in Warwick, and he's been putting in place ideas that would benefit us. I'm sure if you ask the average person in Woonsocket, it's not fast enough or enough. But I give him credit for recognizing it and focusing the General Assembly's attention on those matters.
You know, John, looking at cities and towns across the state, for years, Rhode Islanders have talked about consolidation. Why can't we share services? I mean, we've got 155 pension systems, 77 fire departments, 39 cities and towns, and a small, tiny little place not big enough to be a county anywhere west of the Hudson River. But boy, it sure seems hard to try to put together communities to share police, fire services, schools. It's very, very parochial states still. Do you see any hope that you could consolidate some services and save some money?
I see some hope, but whenever I've brought up my proposal, and since 2007 I've been advocating for one state system for education, mm-hmm. with modifications that would make it reasonable for the local cities and towns in terms of collective bargaining agreements, health care plans, pension participation, etc. I've had that discussion since 2007 with Governor Kacheri even. That has always run into the roadblock of simply saying, well, no, that'll never happen. We don't do those things here.
Right.
But on the other hand, I threw a proposal out to the municipal commission that's working right now to the senators and representatives that would just an idea of why don't we cut down the number of police department numbers in the police departments to get rid of all of the detectives, which in some cases sit around waiting for something to happen. Not literally, but you know what I mean. It's not full-time, and turn our sheriff's department or have a division of the sheriff's department become an investigative bureau and have these investigations trucks and all the equipment that goes with it put into a county basis or a regional basis in any case. And that way you mm-hmm. could shrink down your local police departments to just being patrolmen who would report and or secure a site. And then a county sheriff's office would send out the investigation team and would do the follow-up. Now, I assume that might get you, wouldn't get you the save the world, but might cut your costs for those services by a third. It would shift a little bit of the burden over to the state, and it would relieve the local police departments of that burden.
Mm-hmm.
One small idea. I threw it out there. I don't know if it'll ever stick, but boy, I got to tell you, when you throw them out there, there's a lot of eye rolling. And I think when they look at consolidating services, they're looking at things like the trash contract in Central Falls, Pawtucket, and East mm-hmm. Providence, which sadly will probably save them virtually nothing because you're just going to bid for three communities instead of one, and they still got to pay the same tipping fees and separate the trash when they get to the landfill. So it's good to pat yourself on the back, but it really doesn't solve a problem.
Woonsocket's going to have a mayoral election this November. So far, the only declared candidate is independent Dave Fisher. Who do you expect to run? Do you expect Mayor Leo Fontaine to run for reelection? And do you expect State Representative Lisa Baldelli, a Hunt, a Democrat, to be part of the field of candidates?
As a humorous aside, we have this perennial who runs for everything, Michael Moniz, in town, who mm-hmm. has just announced that he's running for mayor, too. So he's in the game again. I believe Mayor Fontaine will be running again for office. Rep. Baldelli Hunt has always, or seemed to indicate in the past that she's had an interest in the job, and, she's become very vocal in this session because of our current municipal problems. I can't say whether I think she will run or not, except to say that she would probably attract a good following if she did decide to run, and, it would be an interesting race.
You know, Woonsocket is one of those old historic cities with wonderful architecture, and unfortunately on Main Street, too many empty storefronts.
Absolutely.
Now, historic tax credits, how much would that help your city?
Huge. As a matter of fact, it was helping the city. And right now, we have an empty lot across from our new middle school that mm-hmm. used to be a mill complex. And that property was being planned for development based on historic tax credits. Those went away, and right now it is a flat earth layer of dirt. It's gone. The building's gone, and so somebody's going to have to develop something new. The second one is the historic tax credits would be huge again because our old middle school, which was the 1918 version of the Woonsocket High School and then the additional junior high school, is still sitting empty. We're working on a buyer, but it depends upon things like historic tax credits. So it's critical if for us to be able to move that property. Or at some point, somebody will look to buy it and simply level the building and we'll lose it. So it's one of those things that's a huge, important value to a city like Woonsocket that has buildings that just need scream for filling up and renovation.
Briefly, what else is on your wish list for the General Assembly this year?
I've seen the effects of binding arbitration, and I don't think it's a well-thought-out idea, and I hope they don't extend it to teachers because I think it'll it'll put pressure on, although with a budget commission, not as much pressure. I want them to be careful with CVS because they're too important to the city of Woonsocket and Northern Rhode Island. We just can't take too much risk that we'll chase them away or chase 50% of their business away.
And you're referring to a proposed cut in the job development tax credit by Governor Chafee that he would use to fund an overall reduction in the corporate tax rate?
Yes, absolutely. And of course, they're worthy of a fair and honest negotiation with them because they represent such an important part of Northern Rhode Island.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thank you for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And the president of the Woonsocket City Council, John Ward.
Thank you very much for having me.